Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard the story about four young boys, high school boys, who decided one day they were going to play hooky from school. So, we never did this right, guys, but kids these days. But they decided they weren't going to go. So they went and they had a good time and came up with this simple story to tell their teachers the next day. They had a flat tire. They rode together, had a flat tire, and so they couldn't make it. This too much was going on, and it took too long, and by then they were exhausted. And so they went in the next day and began telling each of their teachers one at a time, and all went well. And they got to the very last teacher of the day and told her. We had a flat tire, and you know, they went through the whole story, and she said, well, that's all right. You missed a pop quiz, and so after class, if you'll stay after, you'll be able to retake that quiz. And so the end of school came, and they waited after class, and the four students stayed in, and she told them, okay, now I need you to each sit in the four desks in the four corners of this room so that you can't see one another's paper. And she said, there's one question on this test. Here it is. Question number one, which tire was flat? We're talking this morning about flat tires. Now, we're talking this morning about lying. We're talking about deception and what that will bring. I came across this. I thought it was interesting. And the bits and pieces, apparently, is the source of this. But it was called Famous American Fibs. And now, in a minute, I'm going to tell you what studies have shown, research has shown, to be the average amount of times we lie per day. And maybe as you begin to see some of these, you realize how easy it is to maybe to tell a lie. But here's the most famous or common American fibs. Number one, the check is in the mail. I'll start my diet tomorrow. We service what we sell. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. We know how that is. One size fits all. Your luggage isn't lost, it's only misplaced. Love that one. Leave your resume and we will keep it on file. Open wide, it won't hurt a bit. I just need 5 minutes of your time. We know how that one goes. Here's what one particular source, and I've seen anywhere from 25 to 50 being that number, but USA Today's Gerald Jellison said, each of us fibs at least 50 times a day. He explained that we lie about our age, our income, or our accomplishments, and we use lies to escape embarrassment. Common reason for little white lies, we're told, is to protect someone else's feelings. Yet in so doing, we're really protecting ourselves. According to Jellison, we are some of the most, or here are some of the most commonly used fibs. He says, I wasn't feeling well. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. The check is in the mail. I was just kidding. I was only trying to help. Lots of different reasons for lying. Now, as we get into this study, we're going to look at three main things. We're going to look at God and His relationship with lies. We're going to look at man and his relationship with lies. And then we're going to talk about circumstances that arise. These what-if scenarios and whether or not there's ever a time to justify telling a lie. Now, that particular thought, is there ever a time to justify or would be able to justify lying? We're going to kind of reference that all throughout this study this morning. And so, really, that's what it comes down to. Is there ever a time that we can lie? Because I think we understand that it is wrong. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to bring out something I find rather interesting. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning. I remember as a kid, and I don't know if this has always been this way for all kids or what, but I remember we were always told growing up by other kids, of course, that if you crossed your fingers behind your back when you said something, it's okay. It's not really a lie because you crossed your fingers, right? So we would just tell them, no, I didn't lie. I crossed my fingers. I don't know that any adults do that, but maybe we justify it in some other ways. But Proverbs chapter 6, let's read 16 to 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Here they are: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now I want you to look at this for a minute. What we have here, in essence, in a poetic sense, is maybe a top 10, as we might call it, or here a top 7 list of sins that God hates, that are an abomination unto Him. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. What would be on your top 7 list of the worst, the most abominable sins that you could think of? If we were to say that there were degrees to them for a moment, your worst, maybe you would say murder. Maybe you would say adultery or some other physical sin in that sense. Maybe it would be child molestation, pedophilia. Maybe, you know, we could think probably of a lot of sins that we would put above any others. This is horrible if you commit this sin. Where would you put on your scale of maybe 1 to 50 or 100? Where would you put lying on your scale? Probably we would put it, many of us, just naturally, towards the bottom of that list. It's something that we do so often, maybe 25 to 50 times a day, these studies show, that people tell a lie or deceive. And by the way, lying, let me ask this question, just shake or nod. Do you think that we can lie without actually saying words? Right? Even when you look at the very definition of lying, there is this second or part two to it. Not only is it saying something that's not true, but also giving the appearance, Webster says, of something that's false. Deceiving, in other words, giving it, making it look like something's true that isn't. You're leading them to believe it, even though you really didn't just come out and say it. Right? That's also telling a lie. But as you look at your list, maybe you would put lying way down towards the bottom. In fact, we've found ways to make it really just a small sin. We call it a white lie. In other words, it's pure. It's innocent, really. And then we say it's just a little white lie. Right? We didn't just come out and lie. We just told a little white lie. Well, in God's list, if you will here, in His top 7 that He mentions, what are 2 of the 7 related to? Look at it again. A proud look. Notice the second one. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Excuse me. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Notice a false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. 2 of the Lord's 7 mentioned here are related or directly referenced to lie. Right? There's something wrong when we are looking at it as though lying really isn't a big deal. And God says it is absolutely one of the abominations of sin that you could possibly commit. Lie. As we go through this, again, I'm going to kind of make some references to justifying it. From the very beginning, just that alone, just knowing that alone, how God feels about lying, could we ever say that there's a time that we could justify telling a lie or deceiving someone? Let's talk about God and lying to begin with. Excuse me. You can tell the weather. These allergies this time of the year is getting to me, and some of you have mentioned it's getting to you too. Forgive me if I haven't cleared my throat a few times, but God and lying to begin with. All right, what is God's relationship to telling lies? Number one, God cannot lie. God literally does not have the capability. He absolutely cannot and will not tell a lie. Titus 1 and verse 2 says exactly that. The God that cannot lie has promised you. Now, think about this for a moment. Someone asks you this question. You're telling me that good people in this world, they're very good, they don't, you know, willfully do all these particular sins, they live a good life, but they just don't do what you say to become a Christian or the Bible says, they don't obey the gospel, you're telling me that that person is not going to be in heaven? Right? Can you really be sure of that? Or what about the person that says, you know, somebody died and gave, maybe you've heard it where they talk about a grenade was thrown and you put your body over someone. I've heard that argument a lot, at least on the online and such, that you give your life for someone else. You die for someone else. After all, Jesus said there's no greater love than that. Right? Can you really be sure that person will not be in heaven if they didn't obey the gospel but they gave their life? We can be sure they won't. Why is it that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that person won't be in heaven? Because God cannot lie. And God says in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, this is just one of many passages, but He says, you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Right? Those that are doing good, that are staying faithful during persecution, you're going to have rest. But then He goes on to say, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. God says that a person will be given flaming vengeance if he does not know God and does not obey the gospel. God cannot lie. If it's possible for a person to not know God and not obey the gospel and still go to heaven, then God lied. Are you with me? And so therefore, we can be certain that a person that's not a saved child of God will not be in heaven because God cannot lie. God doesn't have the ability to lie. It is against every fiber of His being. In fact, He also hates lies. We just noticed that it is an abomination to Him. And Proverbs 12 and verse 22 says the same. Lying lips are an abomination to Him, but he which deals truly is His delight. He hates lying. Again, we need to look at lying the way God looks at it. We need to feel about lying the way God feels about it. If you despise something, if you hate it, you stay far from it. You don't want anything to do with it. Right? But sometimes we might just tell one of those little white lies that we call it. God's nature, His very nature is truth. Right? This is who He is. It's what He wants us to be. In John 14 and verse 6, you know this, church. Jesus says, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the truth. His word. We could quote John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Everything that God is about truth. Psalm 33 and verse 4 references His works are truth. And His word is right. His nature is truth. Now why is that significant? Because here's the opposite side of this. And what I want you to focus on for a moment. The opposite of truth, that is falsehoods, lies, is of Satan. It is of Satan. Go to John chapter 8 with me. And let's read this passage together. John 8 and verse 44. He is truth. The opposite of truth is lies. The opposite of God is Satan. John 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice there's Satan, there is no truth in him. He is the opposite of truth. He is nothing but lies, and he's the father or the originator of it. You go back to the very beginning, who was the first one, at least that we're recorded to know of, who's the first one to ever tell a lie? Satan himself. He lied as that serpent in the garden and deceived Adam and Eve. He's the father. He's the inventor. He's the creator of it. He doesn't tell the truth. There's no truth in him whatsoever. His nature is a lie as God's is truth. Now let me ask you this again. Could we ever say then or justify that we could be all right to tell one of those lies? I heard one preacher say that you're never closer to Satan. You're never closer to him than when you tell a lie. I don't know if that's exactly true, but I get the idea of it, where it comes from. Because he says, when you tell a lie, you're of your father, the devil. That's not good to think about. God doesn't have anything to do with lying. He can't lie. He hates lying. And if he did lie, he wouldn't be God. Let's hold that thought and move on. Man and lying. What about mankind and lying? The Bible says a righteous man hates lying. Again, that mindset we're talking about, a righteous man hates it. Proverbs 13 and 5 says just that. Lying is one of the most common sins that man commits. Now, we talked about gossip a while back, and that's one that we can easily commit. Probably lying, though, would be more often committed, especially at a younger age. As you're growing up, maybe all kids at some point have to learn their lesson about lying. Now, I was just literally talking to my mother yesterday. We took my sister back and picked up Amber's nieces. But I was talking to her yesterday, and she mentioned that, Dalton, I had to beat lying out of you when we were growing up. I don't remember why we talked about that, but she said, your father and I had to beat it out of you. And I remember, you know, I remember I was a pretty good kid growing up, but I do remember that I struggled with lying. And I do remember that it was beat out of me. But anyways, besides the point. Adults, though, we still, sometimes we might struggle with this as well. And by the way, James 3 and verse 8 talks about the tongue and how it's that unruly evil that no man can really tame. It's so hard to control, but we've got to give it our best effort. And we've got to avoid these lies. Here's some reasons. Here's why it's so common. And there's so many of these we could put up. I'm just going to give you a few and give you some examples of each. Maybe you tell a lie because of the consequences. You're trying to avoid the consequences of what might come. Young people, maybe mom or dad tells you you don't need to be hanging out with old Billy Joe Bob. Maybe you're a boy and this is a friend of yours that's a bad influence, and your parents tell you, you know, after school you stay away from Billy Joe Bob. Okay, he's not a good influence on you. Or daughters, young girls, maybe you've got a little crush on Billy Joe Bob and your mom says you don't need to be around. Don't be hanging out with Billy. And so after school, you do it anyways. You hang out with them. But when your mom says, what'd you do after school for, you know, 15, 30 minutes till I got there? Well, I hung out with Billy J. Bob. And mom really likes Billy J. Bob. So I'm going to tell her, you know, I'm making these obscure names because I don't want anybody's name to be, you know, think I'm talking about you in here. But if your name's Billy J. Bob, I apologize. But, you know, I was hanging out with this person that you like. I didn't hang out with him. You lie, why? Because you know you're going to be in trouble if you tell them the truth, right? You're avoiding the consequence. Maybe you're at school and you didn't bring your homework. You didn't do it, right? And so you tell the teacher, you probably don't tell him your dog ate it, but something like that. You make up an excuse. I did it. I just forgot it. It's at home, right? And then you go home and do it and then bring it the next day. You're avoiding the consequences, and so you're lying. Maybe as adults, it's a boss at work and you didn't get your work done, or you showed up late and so you lie. Really, you slept in, but you're going to tell them that something very important happened at home. There was my spouse was something happened with her or him, or my child was really sick this morning. And so you lie because you don't want to be in trouble. Maybe you lie to your spouse, the same idea. You know that what you did is going to disappoint them. You know you forgot to do what they asked you to, or something that was really important to them. And I didn't really forget our anniversary, sweetie. I've got a surprise that's coming up next week, right? So you tell a lie. That's just a little white lie, isn't it? What about this one? You make yourself look good. Let's go back to the young people for a minute. Maybe young man, you want to impress that lady, that girl. That young girl at school, and so you're talking about bowling, and so you tell her, you know, last time I went bowling, you know, I bowled a 300. I was amazing. You didn't bowl a 300, you probably bowled a 70, right? But you tell her that because you want to look good. You want to impress her. So maybe you just exaggerate a little bit. You bowled four strikes, really, and that's great, but you tell her you bowled five. You know, you lie just a little bit to make yourself look good. Maybe you tell your boss at work that, in the past, maybe you're trying out for a job or something, and you inflate just a little bit, exaggerate about what you've really done in the past because you really want to get that job, and right? Any number of reasons we might try to make ourselves look good. What about getting gain? Right? You lie, you deceive because you want to get some extra money. Maybe it's the number one thing I think of is our taxes. Maybe you're lying because you want to get some extra money. They don't use that money for the right reasons anyway, so I'll lie a bit and get some extra, you know. Michael Roberts, you can say amen if you want to, brother. I'm just kidding, of course, but lying on the taxes. This is sin, brethren. It's you know, I joke about it, but it's not a joke. It's sin. It's contrary to God's will. And all of these things we want to call, they're just little white lies. They're just things that really aren't a big deal. They are. God says it's an abomination to me. What about this one? Avoid hurting someone's feelings. Now, this is going to lead us into the next part of this. In fact, let me just go right to it. What about certain situations or circumstances? For example, I get, and keep in mind, before I talk about this, keep in mind that I realize there are some difficult what-if situations. I understand that. There can be cases where something could come up that would be very, very hard, and so you don't want to tell the truth because something, there could be a really bad consequence. I get that. But at the same time, it doesn't justify lying either. So what do you do? Well, for example, let's talk about a minor one first. Husbands, your wife comes out in that dress. She's got that dress on and she says, honey, does this make me look fat? Right? Oh, man. What do you do? The truth is, maybe that dress doesn't look good on her, right? Or she just says, does this dress look good? Maybe it doesn't, and you know it doesn't, but you can't just say it doesn't look good, sweetie. You're going to hurt her feelings. So do you lie then? Does that justify? Well, you look great, sweetheart. You look great. I heard about a young man who said, I lie to my grandmother all the time. I said, why do you lie to your grandmother? Because she always asks me, how do I look today? And I always tell her, you look great. And I don't really think that way. You know, that's, so what do you do in that situation? You don't want to tell a lie, but at the same time, you don't want to be brutally honest, we might say. So what do you do? Maybe you say something like, you know, maybe that dress itself is a beautiful dress. And so you say, you know, that dress is absolutely beautiful. But you know what? My favorite dress is that purple one I bought you. Why don't you wear that? Now, you might say, well, she's going to know. She's going to know what you mean. But here's the point of this. Here's what I want you to remember. The consequences that might come from telling the truth do not trump the sin of lying. Right? It doesn't matter. No matter what might come of it, it doesn't justify sin. Right? Matthew 5 and verse 37 says, let your conversation or your communication be yea and yea and nay and nay. You remember? Don't anything more than this, he says, is of the evil one. Isaiah 5 and verse 12, don't call evil good. Right? That's basically what we're doing is saying there are times that lying is okay. There are times that something evil is okay. It's good in this sense. Right? Maybe you get a more extreme example. Somebody comes up to you and they've got a gun to your head. And they despise Christians. And they put that gun up to your head and they say, you tell me, do you believe in Jesus Christ? If you say yes, I'm going to shoot you. If you say no, I'll let you live. Right? Do we say, well, no, in that case, I can lie and say I don't believe in Jesus. That way I'll live, right? I remember a few people in the Bible who tried to justify lying to keep themselves alive, right? Think about Abraham. What did he do with Pharaoh, right? He had his sister. He called her his sister anyway, Sarah, that was with him. She was his half-sister. And so he told everybody, well, she's my sister, right? He deceived them, didn't tell that he was. You remember how that resulted? He did it again to Abimelech. And then that same Abimelech got it again when Isaac showed up with Rebekah. And the whole story happens again. Over and over again, you see them deceiving just a little bit to preserve their own life. Right? Does that make lying okay? Would we justify lying in that sense? I really like Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. I love that. Let's go to the Bible, though, because more often than not, people who want to justify sometimes telling lies will use the Bible and say that the Bible teaches that we can justify lying. Really what we call this is situational ethics. Situational ethics. In other words, there's a scenario, a situation that comes up that dictates whether or not something is wrong or right, whether it's inherently evil or not. And one of the greatest examples, obviously, of this, the most commonly used one, is Rahab. Go to Joshua 2 with me. Rahab the harlot, probably the most used example to try to justify telling a lie. Joshua 2. The Israelites are now going to finally begin conquering the promised land. And they're going to begin, of course, as you recall, with Jericho. Look at verse number 1 beginning. Let's read a few of these verses together and talk about it. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Now notice what happens. Verse 4, the king took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Right? In other words, I don't know where they are. I don't know where they went. Verse 5, it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, and the men went out. Whither the men went, I went not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Right? I don't know where they went, but if you go running after them, you're liable to catch them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Now, these men were trying to the king ultimately was trying to get these spies and probably was going to kill them, right, to take their lives. And so Rahab was just protecting them. And so what did she do? Well, she told a lie. She told a couple of lies, really, right? She said, I haven't seen them. I don't know where they are. I don't know where they went, right? She knew exactly where they were. She did see them, and she knew exactly where they went. She hid them. And so what's mentioned about Rahab in the New Testament? With that in mind, I want you to go to Hebrews with me. You know where I'm going with this, but let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 11, and notice what it says about Rahab. We're going to look at two verses, and then we'll make a point here. Hebrews chapter 11. All of these many men and women of faith, sometimes we call this chapter the Faith Hall of Fame. Look at verse 31, though. Hebrews 11 and verse 31. Was Rahab really ever rebuked for that sin of lying? Did she sin at all? Was it justified? Verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Notice when she had received the spies with peace. See there what Rahab did in hiding those spies and sending them out another way? She did it in faith. And so really, she is completely justified. In fact, she is told she did a good job, right? James, look at James 2. One book over, James 2, verse 25. James 2, verse 25. Here it says this way, or puts it this way. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Notice when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. One good brother said, this verse in particular takes care of it. This justifies the fact that her lying was okay because it says that she received the messengers, she hid them, and she sent them out a different way. And so that inherently must include the fact that she lied to those men. Now, is that true? Here's how I would answer that question. Think about this for a moment. And keep in mind, I get it. I get the argument. And I, for some time, really struggled with this. And I heard somebody put it this way. Here's how we can tell whether this inherently includes that she told that lie. Let's go back to Joshua 2 for a minute. Not turning there, but in your minds. And let's say it happened a bit differently. Let's say she didn't lie. Let's say they came up to the door and the only question they said was, are they here? Do you have them? Right? Are they in your house? And she didn't lie. Instead, she avoided the question, basically, and just said, come in and look for yourself. Maybe that's how she answered. She didn't lie. She said, come in and look for yourself. And so the men come in and they search and they look everywhere. And then they leave. They don't find the men. And then Rahab sends the men out another way. Helps them hide. Now, she didn't tell a lie, but question. Could Hebrews 11 and James 2 still read this way? Let me read James 2 again. Would this still be true? Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Would that still be a true statement if she hadn't have told the lie? Absolutely. Therefore, this passage does not inherently include the fact that she told that lie. Right? We're looking for something. We're looking for proof or evidence to justify it that's just not here. Is she rebuked for the lie? No, she's not. And again, I understand that there could be some very, very difficult situations that arise. But again, do the consequences of truth trump the sin of lying? Would that give us the ability all of a sudden to say something that wasn't true? Let me bring out some final thoughts here about this, hopefully to help answer the question. First of all, right or wrong is not determined by earthly consequences. Right? Whether you're talking about lying or anything else, the consequences of the truth are not going to outweigh the fact that it's still a sin. It doesn't give you the ability to all of a sudden do it and it be all right. Right? Think about Jesus when he's standing before. You remember the high priest talking to him and asking him, he questions him about his doctrine, what he's teaching, and the apostles. And Jesus answers him and tells him the truth. And what does he say? He slaps him and says, the men slap him and say, are you going to talk to the high priest like that? Think about what was about to happen to Jesus. Did that outweigh the fact that the truth needed to be told? Let me just ask this. Did Jesus ever in his life tell a lie? Would he ever justify in some case being able to lie? Because again, let me put it this way. God cannot lie. If there was ever a time that lying was good, why couldn't God then be able to do that? If it was sometimes good, couldn't God tell a lie then? But if he cannot ever tell a lie, wouldn't that to some degree suggest that there's never a time that that would be okay? If you suggest that Jesus did lie, that he did bend the truth a bit in certain situations, that he was willing to, then you're saying he's not God. He's not God at all in that case, because God cannot lie. Be faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Doesn't say be faithful unto death unless you're going to die, or unless someone dear to you is going to lose their life. No, he says be faithful unto death. Think about what the first century Christians went through under Roman persecution. How that many of them died. Could they in those situations deny Christ? Could they tell a lie? Could they deceive in some way? I don't think we would argue that. All liars, Revelation 21 and verse 8, will be lost. Again, he doesn't tack on an exception there. All liars will be lost. Right? The kids, often growing up, I was always told that song, Revelation 21:8, 21:8, liars go to hell, liars go to hell. And so, I remembered that growing up. I never forgot it because I don't know where I heard that song. I don't remember if it was at Bible school or probably mom or dad telling me that so they could avoid beating out of me. But anyways, wherever I learned that there's a lot of truth to that. There's several things going on here. But one of them is lying. He says liars are going to be lost. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 2. Satan is the source of lying. Once again, letting your conversation be yea and yea, letting it be nay and nay, as in yes and no. And it's just that simple. Telling the truth, keeping it honest, or just not answering at all. Don't lie. He says if you add to that at all, any kind of addition, subtraction to that, anything else he says, it's of the devil. It's of the evil one, literally, is how it's worded. One more, I believe, and this will be it. There's always a way of escape. If all else fails, and you just don't know if you're on the same page with me here, and I hope that you are, but if all else fails, remember that, 1 Corinthians 13:10, is there ever a situation God would put you in where you would have no choice but to sin? You would have no choice but to sin, and that would justify that situation. If you believe that to be the case, I would ask you what you do with 1 Corinthians 13:10. Because God says that he's always going to provide that way of escape. And friends, we've got to realize what that is. It may just be that the best thing you can do is to not say anything at all. It may just be that the best thing you could do is avoid the question by changing the subject. Maybe it's to compliment something else in whatever situation you're in. But never, ever is the answer doing something sinful that good may come. Romans, Paul would address that as well in the book of Romans. Friends, if you're here this morning and you're struggling with your lying, or you're struggling with some other sin, it's time to forget that. I'm not going to do that anymore. Forget that old lifestyle and make the changes you need to make. If you're a child of God, you know what to do. To repent of that sin, pray about it. You know, lying can become a habit. I know some that I almost believe they really think that what they're saying is true, or they're just doing it because they're addicted to it, one of the two. Almost everything they say is a lie. And furthermore, let me also mention this before I conclude. Abraham Lincoln put it this way. Maybe he's the best quote to mention. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "No man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar." Think about that for a minute. Think about the memory you have to. You got to remember who you told what, right? What you're going to tell everybody else, making sure you cover with more lies, right? I saw another quote where lying has no legs. It takes other lies to support it, to help it, right? All of those things. You just, when you get into lying, you get into a big web of trouble is what you're doing. And some just are addicted to it. Whatever the case be, whether it's an occasional lie, whether you're telling 50 lies a day, you can quit. You can get rid of that just like any other habit, just like any other sin. But it takes prayer. It takes you trying. Maybe it takes help, prayers from others, encouragement from others. Maybe you need somebody to help you be accountable for it. Whatever the case, don't just continue in those lies and being of the devil in that way. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a child of God. Have you ever become a Christian? In order to do that, you need to believe Jesus is the Son of God. John 8 and verse 24. You need to be willing to repent of sin. I'm going to turn away from that old life of sin and live faithfully to my Lord. I'm going to try to walk in His steps every day. Luke 13 and verse 3. You've got to be willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. That you believe that He is the Son of God, that He came to this earth, and that He died for you. You can confess that before men this very day. Maybe then you'd be ready to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Every sin committed that you've ever committed, whether it was a lie or whether it was the biggest sin you could possibly think of in your mind, the blood of Jesus will wash it away. Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 22 and verse 16. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, won't you come forward? Make it right as we stand and sing together.